is Austin Weber, senior editor of Assembly Magazine. Today, I'm talking to Joe Campbell, head of US marketing at Universal Robots USA. Joe is a 40-year veteran of the robotics industry. After executive assignments in sales, marketing, customer service, and operations, Joe is now head of America's marketing and applications development for Universal Robots. Joe regularly speaks to industry groups, associations, conferences, and state and local governments on the benefits of robotic automation. Thank you, Joe, for joining me today.
Austin, always glad to be here and good to talk with you.
Joe, you and I have known each other for a number of years now, and we've seen a lot of changes in the field of manufacturing in general and automation and robotics. And really the last 2 years have been, it feels like 20 years combined with all the changes that have gone on in the world. I wanted to start the discussion, talk to you a little about some of those changes that have occurred in the last 2 years. Since COVID exploded in March of 2020, as we all recall. And back then, we were all struggling to find workers, skilled or entry level, for various manufacturing jobs in all industries. Can you tell us, where are we today in general?
Well, you know, it's an interesting shift. Early in the pandemic, you know, as the unemployment numbers just exploded, it was a very, very difficult time for the economy and for individuals. However, underlying all that, this issue that we're seeing right now with manufacturing labor not only didn't get better, it got worse. You know, pre-pandemic, there were just under 500,000 job openings in manufacturing. And that's data from BLS, Bureau of Labor and Statistics. The latest numbers that I pulled for the fourth quarter had that number up over 800,000 active job openings in the manufacturing sector. So not only did we not improve, we actually got worse during the pandemic years.
How have robots changed in the last, certainly in the last decade, but more specifically in the last 2 years?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as you've been watching the industry, and I've been in the industry for a long time, robot manufacturers always want bigger, better, faster, you know, more payload, more reach. But I think what's really emerged here in the last few years has been the collaborative market. It's just had explosive growth. You know, even discounting the painful 2020 and early 2021 months of the pandemic, the collaborative market has experienced double-digit compound average growth, and it has really been the fastest growing segment in factory automation. I think the COVID crisis and the unemployment manufacturing labor crisis certainly accelerated the growth of collaborative technology. And I think that's one of the other, you know, big topics that I see in manufacturing right now is this incredible growth of automation inside small and medium enterprises. You know, companies that we just couldn't successfully bring automation into with the traditional approach because of cost and complexity and technology. And now with collaborative automation and a whole new breed of easy to use hardware and software, it's really exploding inside these small companies.
Joe, I wanted to get back to some other data, basic manufacturing labor data. The end of last year, 2021, the number of open manufacturing jobs reached 158,000. Some people have estimated there may be as many as 1 million openings in manufacturers. And the projections are that this may, you know, double within the next decade. A lot of people attribute this to the Great Resignation. What are some of the other contributing factors that you see?
Well, there's two real drivers. The Great Resignation accelerated it and you know, made a bigger gap. But really, this is a demographic issue. What we're seeing is the retirement of the baby boomer generation in manufacturing. Pre-COVID, about 27% of the manufacturing workforce was 55 years or older. Now, if you're a manufacturing manager, that's a staggering number, because that means in the next decade, you're looking at replacing 8, 10, 12% of your workforce on average. And with the difficulty people are having hiring right now, that just is a daunting task. So, we've really had a demographic issue. And COVID accelerated that, because the pace of retirement from boomers actually increased during the pandemic years, because I think many baby boomers were either enticed to work a little bit longer by their employers, or they chose to. And they actually went ahead and retired, deciding that the risk was not worth the benefit or the reward. Somewhere in the neighborhood of an extra million people retired from the workforce during the COVID crisis. And that becomes a very big number when you apply that down into the manufacturing sector. It was really significant. So, COVID accelerated it. But the real big issue, and Austin, you and I have had these conversations before. For way too long, we have just not made manufacturing a very attractive place for younger generations to take up employment. And the younger generations, whether it's a millennial, which is right behind the boomers, or Gen X or Gen Y or even Z, they look at manufacturing and they have no interest in working the dull, dirty, or dangerous jobs that are so prevalent. I also think that's one of the reasons that we've seen such an acceleration of collaborative robot applications to pick up those jobs. So I think those are really the two big drivers. One is very long-term demographics, and then I think the pandemic, the COVID crisis, was a very short-term push that accelerated the problem.
Joe, you mentioned dirty, dull, and dangerous. We've heard that for a number of years now. And how are collaborative robots changing that whole scenario?
Well, I think the advantage to collaborative is that they're what we call incremental automation. The traditional approach, if you wanted to automate a process, and maybe that process had 8 or 10 steps, you had to automate everything or the project wouldn't fly, because there was no easy way to have skilled human labor working side by side with traditional automation. It just made the line far too complex, the safety protocols far too expensive. So collaborative automation allows you to automate one particular step in a process. Small investment, quickly deployed, fast ROI. And then you can do it again and again and again. And we've seen this time after time in shops, both big and small, where they'll start with one automation project, one collaborative robot, and just continue to make these incremental investments in manufacturing. So what that really lets manufacturers do is deploy their skilled labor force on the most demanding, the most challenging, and also the most satisfying job assignments, and put cobots on the dull jobs, the dirty and dangerous.
Incremental automation, can you give me a generic example of how that might apply in a typical manufacturer?
Well, let's take a look at a machine shop. Let's take a look at a machine shop, and we can say it's 25 employees with 15 machine tools, just for example. In the traditional layout, it's very difficult to automate one machine tool with traditional automation because of the requirements for safety barriers and safety cages, interlocks, safety controllers, et cetera. And it became a very expensive proposition. With collaborative technology, you can actually automate one machine tool, and it can be right in the midst of the shop floor. Don't have to relocate any tools, don't have to relocate utilities to get, you know, greater distance between them because of the collaborative nature of the robot itself. So that's a good example of how you can start small and drop a piece of automation right into the middle of a typically or historically manual process. And then, of course, with success, you can just build on that and continue.
Can you give a few examples, or what processes do you recommend automating first?
Well, I think, and this is not just me, this is not just UR, but I think anybody who's been in the automation game will always recommend that you start simple. The days of the early robot industry, when the plant manager said, "I'm going to give you my most difficult job in the entire factory, and if you can do that one, I know you can do the easy ones." Those days are gone, right? So start simple. Look for an application or an opportunity where you see significant worker dissatisfaction or turnover. Again, particularly the dull, dirty, and dangerous applications, and start there. I think a great example we see in arc welding, because the collaborative arc welding market is growing very, very quickly. And what shop owners are starting to recognize is that their welders have a much higher level of job satisfaction when they're working on complex parts. A skilled welder does not want to pump out 300 little brackets a day, you know, with very, very simple welds. It's just repetitive. It is absolutely dull. There's no job satisfaction there. But they are far more satisfied working on complex weldments. So in this case, a good example here would be to automate with a collaborative arc welder, collaborative welder, automate the manufacture of these very small, simple brackets, and let the skilled welders work on the more complex weldments, which, by the way, are also the higher margin products in the shop.
How do cobots reduce costs in every phase of a typical project?
Well, I think that's the beauty of particularly of the UR approach. We've tried to strip cost and complexity out of every phase of a project. And I'll just give a couple examples, but I'll give you three. Right? The first is the collaborative nature itself strips out a lot of complexity that you find in traditional automation. Because of the collaborative nature, after proper risk assessment, of course, cobots don't require the safety guarding, safety gating, interlocks, and controls that you find with traditional automation. So that is a significant saving in and of itself. The second big advantage that's a subset of that is they don't require the same floor space. You've been around factories long enough, you know how expensive floor space actually is when you start to count it up. Another area that has really had a significant impact is in the application of peripherals and accessories. UR has a program called UR Plus, and it's the best description I can use. It's like the app store for universal cobots. We've now got 376 products in the UR Plus program, and each one of them has been tested, vetted, certified by UR as fully functional with our robots. And what that does is just reduce the time and cost risk of integrating components or peripherals or even near full solutions. A good example is just a simple gripper. In the UR Plus world, the use of a gripper out of the UR Plus program with our cobot is a matter of 4 bolts and a cable and the download of the software. And the interface is fully complete and fully functional. And it is actually programmed directly from the UR Teach Pendant. You contrast that with the traditional approach, you're probably looking at 1 to 3 days worth of engineering to be able to apply a gripper, match a gripper with a robot. There's a certain amount of mechanical design, some electrical design, a little bit of software. And then of course, everything has to be documented and it's all custom, right? So again, that's another example where we've just stripped out time and cost wherever possible. I think the last example is in training. UR pioneered a very novel training approach. We actually built an online academy. This is available free of charge. It's on the UR website. And to date, over 130,000 people around the world have taken this training. It's available in 16 different languages. The core modules, there are about 9 core modules, can be accomplished in about 2 to 3 hours. And that just really broke the model for training for, you know, industrial robots, where the traditional approach involved a lot of travel, a lot of expense, and as much as a week off the job and at the manufacturing site. So there's 3 examples of how we're trying to strip away cost at every turn.
Joe, job training programs and manufacturing technology programs can often take years to implement and even longer to generate significant results. What options do manufacturers today have for the short term for making an immediate impact?
Well, I think there's a couple things. So first of all, the collaborative technology itself is far more approachable. And we hear this not just from educators, but we hear it from plant owners and operators. Their teams are far more likely to reach out and experiment with a collaborative robot and to understand what it's capable of. And this is important to go back to that original conversation we started off with today about why younger generations aren't interested in manufacturing. Well, we haven't made it very interesting, to be honest. And the collaborative technology has proven to be a real good counterpoint to that view. And then I go back to the UR Academy. It's very easy for a manufacturer to suggest that people get trained. They can do it on their own time. They can do it in relatively short order. And that actually gives them a sense of empowerment and ability that they can change their job situation, change their assignment. We have a very good case study on our website from a company called Derricks, and they're out in the Northwest in a very, a fairly remote area. And like so many companies, they were having difficulty attracting people to come work in manufacturing. The plant manager there ran a very novel program. He actually bought a UR cobot. And he asked anybody on his production team that was interested to go ahead and take the UR Academy classes online. And then he was going to hold a contest to see who would be the newly created position of robot tech for this manufacturing facility. A young woman, 26 years old at the time, actually bought into it very strong and worked hard, and she became the robot technician for the whole plant. And it's just a great example of how, this new technology can really empower people and help them completely change their view of work life and their jobs.
Thank you for your time and expertise, Joe. For more insights on robotics and automation, please be sure to visit our website, assemblymag.com, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, so we invite you to follow us there too. Thanks for listening.